Continuing our examination of Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell's announcing he will step down from that position this November, I think it's important to understand what the potential impact can be and how far it will spread within the GOP, Senate, as well as considering the issues the Senate addresses, a spectrum that ranges from, well, you to nations around the world. To do that, we welcome former Time Magazine senior reporter, Professor Emeritus of Political Science at St. Peter's University in Jersey City, Professor Alan Sanders. Thanks for being here today, Professor.
My pleasure, Chris.
St. Peter's University on the web at stpeters.edu. We always think that someone, especially in Washington, they love those seats. They love that power. They love that title. But have we seen a case now where we see so much changing within the GOP and within a body of the GOP, in this case the Senate, where the MAGA movement, I guess, is growing in strength and in influence, that a Mitch McConnell has to look and say, to look at reality in the eye and say, you know what, I don't belong here anymore?
Well, at least you get a sense of that from his resignation speech, from the leadership position that he holds, that the speech that he gave earlier this week. Clearly, large elements of his party in the Senate are moving toward a more populist and a more isolationist point of view, which is, of course, the MAGA point of view. And he's found it increasingly difficult to corral his troops to back the sort of more traditional conservative positions and internationalism that he, McConnell, prefers. He's also got some health issues. He's never been quite open about that, but we do know that he fell and had a concussion fairly recently, and he had some moments of just freezing in front of public appearances. So clearly there are health issues there. I think he kind of obliquely acknowledged that, and he also feels that he's being basically left behind by a growing segment of his party.
That may be more magnified when he, not even the day after he made his resignation announcement or planned resignation announcement, hasn't taken effect yet, obviously. The House Freedom Caucus on their X website put out, maybe the Senate will elect a Republican for their leader next.
Well, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But clearly, there's a lot of speculation that whoever succeeds him will not have the skill of holding the party together as well as he, Mitch McConnell, was able to do for the many years that he held the leadership. So it's possible that we're heading into a period of chaos for the Republican Party on the Senate side. Already, there's already major chaos on the House side, and that could also infect now the Senate side. But, of course, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, it's true. Leadership changes are not being handled well by the GOP. And that's the thing, too. Leadership changes usually are carved in stone before the vote is even taken. Now, we've seen that concept fall apart in the House. Does it seem possible in the Senate, since we like to think the Senate is a more deliberative body and a more adult body, I guess we'd say, versus what we see in the House?
Well, yes, but I think we'll also see some moves now from some of the people who are interested in becoming the leader of the Republican Party. Remember, he doesn't resign until after the November election. So there are months now, and clearly those who are interested in the leadership role will start to maneuver and try to get pledges from various members of support. The betting is that the leadership position will probably go to one of the three Johns. That's the way they're nicknamed, because they both start with the name John. That is John Thun, John Barrasso, and John Cornyn. And Thun and Barrasso are part of the existing leadership team behind Mitch McConnell. And Cornyn used to be in the leadership team. So that's sort of the establishment candidates that are likely to vie for a position. But, you know, the MAGA wing, the more extreme conservative wing, is certainly want to be heard. And people there, like Rick Scott and Tom Cotton, might be interested in making a move for the leadership position. So we're in for a period of turmoil because, again, they've got months to strategize, months to plan, and months to attack whoever their opponents are to reach the top leadership position in the Republican Party. So we're in for perhaps a bit of turbulence in the Senate in the coming weeks and in the coming months.
You mentioned Rick Scott. Part of the responsibility of a party leader is to lead in not just legislation, but in fundraising. If you look at Rick Scott's time in fundraising for the GOP, less than spectacular, I think, would be an understatement, would it not?
Well, that's right. And he's been rather abrasive also in the way he operates. So that, as you point out, Chris, is a very important role for a leadership post. It's not just shepherding and getting your party members in unison to adopt a position or to oppose a position. It's also getting your members reelected and potential new Republican candidates elected to the Senate. So fundraising is a huge part of that effort. That's very important. We see that on the House side. McCarthy, the former Speaker, was very effective in raising money for the Republican Party. Mike Johnson, the current Speaker, is less effective in raising money. And so that's hurting the Republican cause for, you know, supporting House candidates. So now we'll have to see on the Senate side whether whoever is selected is as effective as McConnell was to raise money. It's a crucial element to keeping your majority and to obtaining a majority if you don't have one.
Talking with Professor Alan Sanders, former Time Magazine senior reporter, Professor Emeritus of Political Science, St. Peter's University in Jersey City, stpeters.edu, their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Just for an understanding for the listener, because a lot of people say the Senate isn't the Senate anymore. The original intent and design of the Senate, at least by my understanding, if you look at the Constitution as well as the I'm not going to say ancient years, but certainly in the 20th century, the Senate's role was to stabilize and work with substance. Does the Senate live up to those ideas in the here and now?
Well, I would say less so than it used to be. The House is the popular branch. That is to say, it's elected every 2 years, and it's supposed to reflect the swing in political mood in the country because the members are elected every 2 years. That was the initial intent. The Senate, they're elected, the members there are elected for 6 years, and the idea was to be a more deliberative, a calmer, and a more thinking body rather than one that reacts to the immediate political winds of the day. But what has happened is two things. One is an increasing number of House members have moved on to the Senate, more so than in the past. And so what has happened is that the atmosphere or the ambiance of the House has moved into the Senate as more former representatives have become senators. And then, of course, increasingly, the nation as a whole has become much more politically polarized. And, of course, that gets reflected, whether that's true in the more popular House or in the more deliberative Senate, the politicization of issues, some of which never used to be politicized, now have become politicized. And so that also is impacting the way the Senate works.
Donald Trump is obviously getting the accolades for what we see now as the current status of the U.S. Supreme Court. Doesn't Mitch McConnell actually deserve the bulk of that, if you see it that way, positive reaction for the work that he did, especially with the Amy Coney Barrett confirmation, but blocking Merrick Garland for over a year, the work that he did to get those final three under the Trump years justices onto the court, wasn't the heavy lifting pretty much done by Mitch McConnell?
Oh, absolutely. And that probably will be his most important legacy as he leaves the leadership and ultimately leaves the Senate when his term ends, as he has promised to do. Not only did he remake the Supreme Court to have a strong 6-3, very conservative majority, not just conservative, but very conservative majority, but he also did the same thing for lower court judges. When Trump was in office and he was the majority leader, he shepherded through a whole bunch, hundreds of very conservative judges at the district court level and at the appeals court level to remake the federal judiciary from top to bottom. And so that will be one of his most important enduring legacies. He was very proud of that, but we shall leave it to history to determine whether that's good for the country or whether that might in fact be good for the Republican Party, because we all know that very conservative Supreme Court majority overruled Roe versus Wade, and the Republican Party is feeling the political backlash that decision has come to be, and there are strong headwinds against the Republican Party as a result of the Dobbs decision that overruled Roe versus Wade.
I guess in light of where cases of his are now either in front of or will be in front of the Supreme Court, Donald Trump will come to a decision about whether or not it was all for good or all for nothing. Just to wrap up, I know this coin toss time, this might be either a superficial or substance, but does the here and now with Mitch McConnell and him stepping away or planning to step away from the leadership position. Now, in theory, maybe allows him to not endorse Donald Trump?
It could, but, you know, he has done all kinds of calisthenics, political calisthenics and acrobatics, to try to support Donald Trump and to sort of tolerate his inflammatory behavior in the past. He might feel freer now to criticize Trump. He doesn't have to endorse him because he's now stepping away from the leadership position. So we'll have to wait and see whether he actually comes through. But whatever he did for Trump has managed to make Trump a success and allowed him to make a comeback. Remember, he could have corralled his troops to convict Donald Trump on impeachment charges. That would have ended Donald Trump's political career and come back, but he didn't do that. He actually, stepped back and allowed Trump to be acquitted. So in many ways, he is responsible for Trump's political comeback, which he could have helped to end. So we'll have to see what he now does. But when he was in power, he certainly did everything to help Donald Trump and to keep him politically alive.
Odd thing to do for someone who insults your wife, but that's another story for another time. Want to find out more about the education opportunity at St. Peter's University? Their website, stpeters.edu. He is their professor emeritus of political science, as well as former Time Magazine senior reporter, Professor Alan Sanders. Thank you, as always, for your insight into what can be confusing for some, but you help clear that confusion up very nicely. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Chris. Always a pleasure. Take care.